This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much, Chairman, and thanks for the opportunity to come and address the conference this morning. Just want to go back slightly to last year's Policing Green Paper, which endeavoured to present the confidence target within the context of reducing burdens on police forces and scaling back of Home Office performance management activities. I'd be interested to know whether people feel that's actually been achieved. However, if you noted, that confidence target wasn't only about measuring police performance, because it was also about measuring the performance of the police and their partners. Now, I say at this point, this is where local authorities can assist. Now, that to me is a very important aspect of working in partnership, which Andy very clearly stressed. And actually, if you look at the reality of the question in the British Crime Survey, that means the performance of partners actually mean the performance of councils, as they are only one of the broader range of partners involved in tackling crime who are specifically mentioned. I know that the confidence target, as I've said, measures not only the police but local authority performance, and that has caused a considerable amount of concern amongst police forces right across the country. And we did have, I think, an example this morning from the Chief Constable of Merseyside, the difference if you then take out local authorities in terms of how the performance measure changes in terms of public perception. Whereas the police are known for their responsive and swift action, the fact that they are being held to account for the totality of that performance target, from our point of view, does seem to be somewhat inequitable. But I can assure you that local authorities collectively are committed to delivering the target, whether they own it or not. And this is demonstrated, I would suggest, by the numbers in the national indicator set. One or more of the four confidence-related targets in that set appear in over 80% of local area agreements. So there is the beginning of a sense of purpose amongst local authorities. Now, a further indication of council's commitments to the confidence agenda is shown by two surveys that the LGA have carried out this year. At the start of this year, the Improvement and Development Agency, which is our equivalent of the MPIA, commissioned a survey of local authority community safety managers. Now, those managers were asked to identify the most challenging aspect of the emerging community safety agenda, and which was top of their list, and that actually was improving public confidence. Now, this survey was followed by another in the summer, which questioned the same group of managers to identify their top three concerns. It's no surprise that antisocial behaviour was indeed their top concern, but equally, their second was the concern around the fear of crime. And I know that's something which is very much the focus amongst many police forces. And if you look at the place survey results, irrespective of what has happened to crime rates, the public are still very worried about crime. And that is part of what we have got to do collectively in terms of building up that public confidence. And there is no doubt that if we drive up confidence, that will not only improve public perceptions of councils, it will actually further assist the police to drive up their confidence ratings as well. Now, within the LGA group, we're looking at those councils which are doing it well, finding out what it is they're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, and with whom they are doing it, so that we can begin to share best practice, stopping a lot of people doing a lot of work to reinvent the wheel. And we also want to work to shift public perceptions in areas that councils have experience in, such that when we work with partners, it then becomes a much easier mechanism to generate a perception that people are actually working together and we're not separate bodies related to separate agendas. And we're doing this through what we call the reputation campaign, which is something we've been running at the LGA for three or four years. And it grew out of the fact that while individual services themselves were getting better, and it wasn't only us saying that, I have to say, it was the Audit Commission and even government, the public don't necessarily recognise those improvements, first of all on a collective basis, and secondly, that they are often services that are delivered by the local authority itself. And therefore it hasn't, though it's beginning to latterly, translate into higher overall satisfaction ratings with councils. And we had Ipsos Murray, they seem to be getting a lot of money out of a lot of us at the moment, undertook a survey to look at the results of what was underpinning all of that. And shall we say, the study found that the key correlation with satisfaction was perceived value for money. So therefore, those councils that people felt gave best value for money were the most popular. Whether people saw those councils as offering good value for money was dependent, not as you might think, on council tax levels, but on how effective the council was at informing residents about council services. And we're now coming back, are we not, to a central theme about information and how we communicate. Now, the campaign identified 12 key actions councils could do to improve resident satisfactions with them, and I'll just give you two or three examples. Improving the public realm by quickly removing graffiti, abandoned cars and fly tipping. If you think about it, that's a no-brainer. Ensuring the council brand is consistently linked to all services. Publishing a regular council magazine or newsletter and providing an A to Z guide to council services. They may seem very simple, but they're not necessarily things that all councils do on a regular and consistent basis. And again, if some of you are sad enough to look on the Home Office website at some of the research on the drivers of public confidence, you'll recognise the similarities with the findings from that research, such as using new letters and improving the public realm. However, I'll reiterate, the most important similarity is the provision of information to the public. And of course, it can occur in a number of different ways. What the public don't want is consistent, continuous, ongoing, detailed consultation. I think if you go into many communities, they'll tell you they've been consulted to death and what has ever come out of that consultation. They're not necessarily that concerned about being empowered or being involved. And in fact, the evidence suggests that much of that has little impact on public confidence. And we found also that having greater opportunities to participate in decision making was also not an important link to satisfaction with councils. The vast majority of people just wanted to know, about 58%, what the council and the police were actually doing. Whilst involving and consulting will help improvement in confidence of about 13%, a small number who wanted to be actively involved, the biggest impact, the survey showed, was that providing better information was the best way of allowing people to feel that they could be confident in what was being done. And it goes back to many of the themes that Jane was mentioning in her presentation about what is going on in Merseyside. And there are a number of good examples. We've heard from the Chief Constable this morning about much of what is happening in Merseyside today at a strategic level. The mention of safer school partnerships. Those are becoming embedded in more and more authorities and schools around the country. It generates respect for the police and understanding of what they do. It builds confidence within the communities, not only in terms of approach, but in terms of being able to access and to deal with often low-level antisocial behaviour at tipping out time, especially around schools, and that in itself improves how communities feel safe about the generality of the communities in which they live. A mention was also made about Tyneside, which of course is the Northumbria Police, the Fire and Rescue Services and the five local authorities in their "You, We Asked, You Said, We Did" campaign. What they have done, and I think it's quite fascinating, is that they've actually got a common brand right across all the councils. And it's used in advertising, whether it's on buses, on trams, on hoardings, etc. And equally, That branding is tailored then. So you've got the broad strap line. It's then tailored to each of the individual boroughs, and then within each of the individual boroughs, right down to ward level. So there's a consistency of recognition and ownership in terms of public perception. Residents then get joint newsletters from the partners working on their behalf around crime and making people safe. And if you actually look at the figures in terms of the change in positive perception, not just of the police, but of public services, which is a very important factor, that has risen from 62 to 70%. And it's also raised the positive perception that local services identify and act on crime issues up to 80%. And of course, it's interesting that when you get that kind of delivery and change, that even national bodies such as Louise Casey's Neighbourhood Crime and Justice Group within the Home Office have started to pick up the concept of joint newsletters. And they're being pioneered in the 60 areas involved with the Neighbourhood Crime and Justice Group in terms of putting out newsletters at a local ward level. Equally, in the London Borough of Hackney, newsletters have led with articles specific to the ward and local issues, such as robbery or violent crime. Some police areas have developed the concept of public reception units. You're now getting children's social care workers embedded with police teams, especially when you're dealing with things like domestic violence, so that you've got a direct interaction. And I was fascinated by Alan's comment about waiting for the social worker. Now that you're getting them embedded, working jointly with police, you're beginning, I think, to get a recognition at long last that within the public sector, we can actually work together very collectively. And there are various other examples up and down the length of the land. And what this has done in many areas, from Hastings in the south, from Tyneside to Merseyside to my own area in the West Midlands, is that people are beginning to feel safer. And that is beginning to reduce the fear of crime. And suddenly I think people are beginning to recognise that the crime statistics in terms of their reduction are actually real. Equally, there now needs to be, and that is also beginning to happen, a series of campaigns aimed at local schools so that we can reduce the fear of crime amongst young people. Whilst I don't want to necessarily teach you all to suspect, if you look at the crime statistics, the group of people in our communities who suffer the most crime are actually young people. And often the people who perpetrate the crime are young people themselves. And I think we've got a lot of work to do collectively to bring about an increased safety, both in terms of perception and actuality amongst young people. And that in itself, I think, will overall help. Councils and councillors are absolutely fundamental to the communication process, not only in an informal sense, but in a formal sense as well. And I know that here in Liverpool, the police regularly provide councillors with crime figures. And this actually has assisted many colleagues that I've got to know here in Liverpool rebut concerns that local residents have. And that's an example, again, of collective and partnership working, which is absolutely essential. And equally, if there's an incident, councillors themselves can help to put out information at short notice to keep residents on a wider basis within the community informed, again, helping to reassure the public. So in conclusion then, can I emphasise that councils and councillors are absolutely committed to helping the police deliver on the confidence target, not only because we want to, but because it's in our interest to do so as well. The key to engaging with the public on this agenda is quite simple. It's quite straightforward. We've had some good examples of that this morning, and it's about providing information on what is actually being done, and they can actually equate that then with the visibility of the police and the PCSOs on the ground. There are lots of good examples that we can draw on. We should jointly ensure that we are communicating, sharing, and developing those across the country. And I know that together we can make progress in reducing the fear of crime and increasing public confidence. Thank you very much.